Hare Krishna. Yes.
Dandavat Maharaj, today we have a question from Gupta Govardhan. It is saying, is there any meaning in praying for other people, especially other devotees, then they lose the passion for service? And what is the right way to do it?
We've heard that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if it was brought to his attention from the perspective of the devotees in general, say, for example, that someone was not taking the name as they were formerly, his vision was, he said, oh, like their prayer was to get so much service, they're praying for service, so much service has come to them, they're unable to do these things. So even that he saw in a favorable light. That's Mahabhagavata vision, right? Because we have to always remember and remind ourselves, we want to look upon Krishna's devotees favorably under all circumstances. It's announced at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam that this is the secret to Krishna conception, expressed as Nirmat Saranam Satam, which Prabhupada and others have rendered as being non-envious of the devotees. But we know then that implies the inverse, means to praise them, to sing their praises, to identify their good qualities as a servitor. It goes without saying that, it should go without saying that those pursuing the path of Raga Marg are not rule mongers. Neither shall we mean neglectful, atyahara prayasacha prajapal niyamagraha of Rupa Goswami. Saying two types of fault. One is too much attention to the rules and regulations. The other side of that is neglect. So always we seek in this sense the middle path, the devotional path. But this critical point is there about how we view other devotees. Because as they have been accepted by Guru and Vaishnav as aspiring servitors, and their devotional mood has been given some recognition, we should be very cautious how we view them. Srila Guru Maharaj went so far as to say, he gave an example about proceeding on the path. When you're walking along a path and you encounter obstacles. And this is interesting in light of the Upanishadic saying, Durgam patattas tavayo kavayo vidanti, that the kovida means those in the know, and that means spiritually, those who understand essentially what is what, they have said that this path is full of obstacles. That is durgam. Durgam patastat kavyo vidha. They said, we should know that. You're trying to march from to march toward Vaikuntha, to transition from the world of exploitation to the world of dedication, we can expect there will be obstacles along the way. One being to lose one's enthusiasm, but which is required, again, Rupa Goswami, utsahan nischaya darya tat tat karma pavartana. You have to be enthusiastic, but also patient and determined. You can be enthusiastic for a day or two, but there has to be an overall arc of enthusiasm based on appreciation. Where will we get that appreciation and connection with devotees? When Shyamananda Prabhu asked Srila Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj at first said, referencing Rupa Goswami sloka, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati Kriyatam Yat Katopi Kriyatam Yadi Kutopi Nalabhyate Tatva Loyam Vulyam Ekalam Janmakoti Sukritaya Nalabhyate. He says, Janmakoti Sukritai. 10 million births of doing the right thing, you know, following everything, that won't give this to you. What? You have to have some genuine hankering for it, some eagerness. Hunger is another word. And so Shyamananda Prabhu said to Guru Maharaj, where to get this hunger? And Guru Maharaj said, associate with the hungry. And we think we have that experience in life in general, but with Srila Gurudev in particular, that Sridhasrava Prabhu, Vaishnava Maharaj, pointed out, we could have just finished a feast and be full, but Srila Gurudev could speak about prasadam in such a way as to reawaken your hunger, even for a full person, what to speak otherwise. So by associating with those who have some hunger, some eagerness, some enthusiasm, it can ignite enthusiasm in us, awaken eagerness in us. That's always the position. Sadhu Sangha Satovare, to get superior association. This is applicable everywhere, in every aspect of life. Whatever the field is, when you come in connection with someone who has some enthusiasm, some passion for that, some lifelong interest and dedication to it, you'll always be better for it. And whatever the field is, and it's even more applicable within Krishna consciousness. So we always improve through association. But on this example of the path, encountering obstacles on the path, Srila Guru said, a healthy way to view this is that just as when someone's going on a path, whatever their what's the word? You know, like velocity or the speed with which they're moving, momentum. It may not be sufficient to cross over that obstacle. He said, so sometimes we see, what do? They back up. And then they come with increased velocity and leap over that very thing. He said, so what he means to say is, even if you see someone who is apparently regressing, this will be a healthier way to view that in the case of a devotee, that, oh, they're regrouping. They will reapproach whatever it was, the obstacle they encountered, and cross over that with renewed energy, increased momentum, along those lines. So what do we gather from all of this is how cautious we should be, because we do not want to find fault with those who are dear to Krishna, or those who are dear to those who are dear to Krishna. Guru and Vaishnav. We know they're in the heart of Krishna, and in this world, someone becomes dear to them, then we want to look favorably upon that person and see their devotional qualities. When someone was finding fault with the devotees, and to the extreme, and I thought that they needed to be quarantined from polluting the minds of others. But Srila Gurudev and Srila Avadhut Maharaj, they were more tolerant. Many times, Srila Avadhut Maharaj would say about someone like, he just needs association. And that's true. That's the cure-all. Is sadhu sangha satovari, superior association, brings about the desired adjustment. So then I thought, if Srila Gurudev, Srila Avadhut Maharaj, they both agree on this, and I'm of the contrary opinion, then I should readjust my thinking to be aligned with theirs. So I met with this person and then tried to see them in a new way, in this light of servitorship, and became adjusted. And I was waiting for Srila Gurudev to return. And he came in the afternoon, and I was also like very proud of myself, how I changed my thinking, and I was now like all good. As Gurudev would say, a good boy. And then Gurudev came back and I said, oh Maharaj, you know, I've changed my opinion about this person. I now agree with you and Avadhut Maharaj. I'm seeing them that way. And much to my surprise, Gurudev said, I can never say that. And I thought, no, I'm agreeing with you. And he goes, I can never say that. And then he said, finding fault with all the devotees, with the Vaishnavas, you know, and he took my former opinion. And that's when he said, my religion is finding fault with myself. And I thought, oh, how succinctly and from his own unique realization he's expressing the teachings of Mahaprabhu. Trinadapi sunichena, tororapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be humble, humbler than a blade of grass, tolerant, more tolerant than a tree, to offer respect to others, even those who are may seem to be unworthy of respect, and to expect nothing, no honor for yourself. He said, this is the open secret, the key to being successful. And Gurumar said, if you can follow this advice, then kirtaniya sadahari, which you could say, oh, then you can go on properly taking the name of Krishna. But in one context, Gurumar said, then you can manage the Krishna consciousness movement. Meaning, without this principle, you'll not be able to. And what did Gurumar say further? It means that in terms of position, and this may be directed more toward those in the leadership position, he's saying, if you give position to others, your position becomes enhanced. But if you are unwilling to share or give position to others, you go down. That's how he glossed amanina manadena in a particular context. And Srila Gurudev, who sat beneath the sloka on his veranda in Calcutta, if you look above his head, it said, Trinadapi sunichena tororapi sahishnuna. And Kaviraj Goswami says in Charitamritam, like, this is a mala, right? This is like pushpa mala, flower garland. So he says, that sloka, you should wear it like the way you wear a mala. That sloka, you should wear it like a mala on yourself and operate from that position. Right? And Gurudev said, this is the secret, open secret. And I asked him, I said, Maharaj, when did you, Because he's quoted this sloka at least once a day, if not three times a day, every day. So I thought, just speaking aloud, I said, "Oh, Maharaj, when did you realize this?" And he went, "Oh, Maharaj, nothing else works." That seemed very simple, but it's profound. He's saying, implying, having exhausted all other strategies or methods, I at last realized this alone works. But Guru Maharaj said, when one man heard all these wonderful possibilities that are expressed in Krishna consciousness, and he became very excited, and then Guru Maharaj said, but to realize that, you have to practice these teachings of Mahaprabhu. Humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree, offering honor to others, not respecting for yourself. And he said, and that man said, "Oh, that is impossible." Then he was a little discouraged. First he got very excited, then you have to do that? Oh, impossible. Almost. But we say, Sri Guru Dinatarinam, what appears to be impossible. And what is that thing that appears to be impossible? Is to overcome our lower nature. It is possible by the grace of Sri Guru and Vaishnava. We sing Sri Guru Vaishnava Padde Madhyayi Aman. Listen to this song, how it's emphasizing the position of Guru and Vaishnava. Verse after verse after verse. Meaning their association, the service of their holy lotus feet. Without service, what is association? It's a fantasy. There's nothing substantial there. Through a service connection, it becomes meaningful. So, in the culture of devotion, the aspiring servitors, their focus, as Gurudev said, condensing the teachings of Mahaprabhu into that one line, my religion is finding fault with myself. Then we can improve. And if we improve, then we're in a position to help others. Right? As the popular phrase there, the best version of yourself. That means you're dedicating self, devotional self. Then we're in a position to help others. In a more general sense, not toward devotees, but toward those who are not acknowledging or expressing, apparently, their interest in Krishna consciousness. We hear that, and to a certain degree, you could say this is applicable to struggling, aspiring servitors, if you wanted to extend it. But we see in Prahlad Maharaj how he's happy on his own, but when he thinks of others who are suffering on account of being either devoid of or a lack of appreciation for Krishna consciousness, that invokes compassion from him. We also hear in a prayer from the Vilapakusumanjali of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, and praise of Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, Vairagya Yug Bhakti Rasa Prayatne Apayayam Mamanabhip Samandam Kripambudhi Yat Paraduka Duki Sanatanas Tvam Prabhu Asrayami. Sanatam Prabhu, Sanatan Goswami Prabhu. And it's very interesting when he says, I mean, he's Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, the the personification of renunciation. All he's taking is buttermilk in a leaf cup for his sustenance. And one day he sees the leaf cup is a little different than what they normally give him. And he's saying, where is this from? And they say, oh, what we normally give is that's from Sakistali, actually. Sakistali, that means the place of Chandravali, Srimati Radharani's opposition. He's throwing that. It's all he is sustained by is this little cup of buttermilk. He throws it away as untouchable, coming from her opposition. And we hear that, the Raghunath, but all the Goswamis, Srinivasacharya's praising like that. Nidra hara vihara kajibidito chatyantu dinatriyo. Saying how little they sleep every day, how little they take for their sustenance. But lest we think like, oh, are you implying that's the means to achieve devotion? No. That is a consequence of their inner absorption. They're so absorbed internally, can't sleep. Not that they're engaged in sleep deprivation as a means for spiritual realization. No, they're so enlivened, so inspired, they sleep the minimum. What do they say? Chori danda. A danda is 24 minutes. I've mentioned this before, like in a day, there's 24 60s, right? 24 hours of 60 minutes each. We have mathematicians in the audience? All right, there you go. So 24 60s. Reverse it means there's 60 24s. Correct? Same thing, 60 24s. That's a Vedic measurement. Twice a 24 is 48. That's a muhurta. Anyway, so it says chori danda. That means that's how much they sleep every day? Means 4 times 24. That's an hour and 36 minutes, an hour and a half, basically. So, and you think, what? I mean, think about it. They're so enlivened, they can't sleep. But the body needs some. Like we have lizards here. You may have noticed. They're everywhere. I have a couple who live in my room. I'm sure you have a couple who live in your room. And I find them fascinating. And I read that they sleep for 80 seconds. Because, they're like on the wall and they go to sleep for 80 seconds and they're good to go. It doesn't say 80 seconds per day, but they sleep in 80, not, and maybe this isn't true of all of them. It's true about the ones that I read. 80 seconds to rejuvenate. So here, 90 minutes. Because it's unthinkable to us. But what? So inspired, and what? Relishing, they're drinking this internal, sweet, nectarine substance. They have very little need for it. Just to keep the body going, they're taking something. But again, it's not that they're engaged in sensory deprivation as a means for devotional achievement. No. On account of their devotional depth, the minimum requirement for sleeping, eating, etc. So, that Das Goswami, and we read about other examples of his renunciation in Charitamritam. He says, Vairagya Yug Bhakti Rasa Prayatnai, that this drink of Vairagya, he's not saying it's some kind of bitter, terrible thing. As one might think, preceding that, he's saying, I was unwilling to drink that. He's saying, but Sanatana Goswami Prabhu is so merciful, he forced me to drink it. And now I'm so thankful that he made me drink this nectarine substance. So it's a question of perspective. And we say two devotees, I prefer it be these two devotees to take it away from here. These two devotees, Raghunath Das Goswami and Sanatana Goswami Prabhu. So Raghunath Das is saying, there's some unwillingness on my part. What did Prabhupada call it in one place, interestingly? Because we always hear about causeless mercy. And we go, that's a good thing, and we like that. Because we think, oh, that means even if you're unqualified, you can get some mercy. I want to sign up for that. But Prabhupada also used the expression, causeless unwillingness. Saying like, so what is it in us that is like reluctant to participate or to give ourselves? Because you have at any, the basis of any devotional, act of devotion, devotional action is atma samarpanam. There has to be some self-giving. We can't think like, oh, I want to associate with someone who's very enlivened. I will remain unenlivened just while I'm with that enlivening person. That'll be enlivening for some time. Then I'll go back to my unenlivened position. You can't hire someone to be Krishna conscious for you, like a surrogate. Like some that may sound absurd, but words may not. Is in like in a family situation, sometimes people think like their children will do it for them. You know, like, well, I may not have, like, it's a common thing. I may have been unable to achieve this, but my child will. And that may be true, and you may get some benefit from that. But still, you can't, you know, hire someone to be a devotee for you. Right? You have to give something. God helps those that help themselves. Atma samarpanam, that means self-giving. If we look at the book Bhagavad Gita, like Gurudev, he's reading Bhagavad Gita for what? 50, 60, 70 years. And he's looking through it faithfully, but he will see something new, something new, fresh, invigorating, because he's given himself to that. Right? It's not just like, oh, I don't feel enthusiastic, now let me pick up the book and it will enliven me. No, you have to give ourselves something of ourselves, some of our energy. It requires some sacrifice, right? To look at similar things daily, but there's a type of faithful adherence and repetition. When Srila Guru Maharaj mentions that when he was younger, very younger, he heard this Vedic aphorism. What is it? Avritir sarva shastranam bodhadapi gariyasi. It said, not as important, or that understanding is not as important as constant repetition. Now, he's the person who says the repetition of sensation is not experience. I mean, just over and over and over, there has to be some self-giving in there for it to deliver some realization, some enlightenment. But he said, there's this Vedic saying that almost as if saying the opposite. Not as important to understand, to faithfully, continually hear. So it seems to run counter to Guru Maharaj's normal system of thought, what he says thematically. But he knows, if it says this in the Veda, it must be true. Because Veda means know this. Like now hear this, know this to be true. That's why it's the expedited path to understanding. Just know this, and then you receive that because you have faith in divine revelation. So he knows if it says that, it must be true, and he how to adjust himself. And he saw that what it means is when we submit ourselves to faithful repetition on a daily basis and offering ourselves and our energy and service to the scriptures, the songs, and varieties of service, that reciprocating that fidelity, there will be some remuneration in the form of realization or appreciation. So we faithfully read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or Charitamritam. It's called, you know, Parayan, continuous reading. It's now it's time to have that reading. We read that. If we do this faithfully, then sometime hearing that, we go, oh, I've heard this before. Like soon we will be focused on Rath Yatra. I say, oh, I heard this before. I heard it last year. But I don't remember hearing this part. This is new to me. Oh, I didn't, you know, I'm considering this now in some new light. That's what happens when we give ourselves in service to the scriptures, devotional practices, etc. That a particular moment, something comes to us that is unique, it is original, and it is sweet, it is tasteful. And it leaves us in a state of hankering for more. What is the statement of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his song? Bichakana korite dulite, I can't remember. But because I didn't serve it well. But he's saying, it's like a flash of lightning. Right? That means it's total darkness. Then when there's lightning, what happens? Momentarily, everything is illumined. You can see everything. Everything is revealed for that moment. And it's a thrill. And then you're in your former position. And he says, because then we'll think like, oh, what was the sequence leading up to that flash of illumination? Let me repeat that. No. Then that would be, you know, A plus B equals C, step and repeat. No. He says that if you try to do that, it will go away from you. Because then you're trying to make the subjective world an object of your experience. But no, through faithfulness, fidelity, self-giving, out of doinya, atmani vedam, hopelessness, helplessness, with that approach, that touches the heart of Krishna. He reciprocates, gives something. Then we realize, oh, some new light came, a new perspective, a new way of seeing, some happiness from these activities. Resume your former position, but you'll be left with some hankering. But again, not to try and force that again, because Krishna is repulsed by arrogant assertion. Right? Is Guru Maharaj like, we're talking about Trinadapi, Sunichena, being humbler than a blade of grass, humility. Guru Maharaj describes as negativity. We know in New Age circles, what do they call New Age in Russia? Something era. What? Nova? Novaya era? Okay. So that's the Russian version of New Age. And so in New Age thing, it's always like, be positive. You got to believe in yourself, you know. And all these humanistic slogans, right? Yeah. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. You know? And avoid being negative. Negativity is just bad. So from one point of view, we get that, you know. Like, don't beat yourself up, you know. You gotta have a positive attitude and self-esteem. You know? But it's also been said that half-truth is worse than falsity. I rather prefer Guru Maharaj's perspective, where he says, he equates negativity with humility. And he's showing us the value, the benefit of negativity. And he takes it, he's redefining it, taking it to a new level of understanding. Just as, and we know that's not unscientific, as in the, Jyoti is not here, the, electricians, no, but like, the, you know, positive and negative. Because I can still remember that some things stick with you your whole life. There were these batteries, like 9-volt batteries. And there's always some kid said, hey, you want to do some, you know, like have a thrill? And you go, yeah. And they go like, okay, lick your fingers. Yeah, all right. And then just touch right here. And so you go, okay. And you go, Dah! You know. Because the positive and negative current, you're like, you know. So you learn like in a real, a realized way about positive and negative current. Or we saw a magnet and two magnets. And when you put the positive, what does it go? You can almost feel it. But when you turn it the other way, they go positive to negative, negative to positive. So what Guru Maharaj is saying, positive assertion or assertiveness in the sense of being arrogant self-assertion, that's repulsive to Krishna. To the, you know, the finite arrogantly asserting itself is repulsive to the infinite. It's a joke that's not funny, right? And that's the situation. Little, I think finite, infinitesimal, you know, that's maybe redundant. But it would be laughable if it wasn't so sad. You have this tiny, finite, they're the greatest, soham, ahang brahmasmi, so... That Brahma, that great, I'm that. And if you sign up for my course, you can be that too for $99.95. You know, it's cheating. Right? Someone's going to deceive you into thinking that you're God. Right? I'm God and you're God. When I was in LA and went to hear A.L. Basham, the so-called world's leading authority on Hinduism. He was giving a talk at UCLA, and I thought, let's hear what he has to say. Before Wikipedia, there was encyclopedia. If you don't know what an encyclopedia is, look it up on Wikipedia. But he would write the entry for Hinduism in the old encyclopedia. And he was giving a slideshow, and at one point, because some people said, really, he's sort of a closet Krishnite. He really liked Krishna and deities of Krishna. But anyway, at one point he said to the notion that like I'm God, you're God, you know, and I'm you. We're told in sequence, there's like, I'm yours is one level, higher. You are mine is like a deeper level of attachment. But the Mayavadins will say higher than that is, I am you. Right. So to this notion, he said, the notion that like, and John Lennon addressed this in I Am the Walrus, the opening lines, I am he as you are he, as you are me, and when I am he as you are me, and we are all together. Showing and delivering it as if it was Jabberwocky, some sort of a nonsense rhyme. So A.L. Basham, in his, you know, posh British accent, he said, but quite frankly, I don't know if I want to be you. And I thought, you're right. You answered it in one line. He said, I don't know if I want to be you. I like being me. Why should I have to sacrifice my individuality to come in connection with the infinite? Not so in Krishna consciousness. You retain your individuality and actually discover your actual individuality. So, but how? Guru Maharaj will say, through the culture of negativity. So on these current, it's the negative and positive that brings illumination. It's what is positive attracted to? The negative. It's repulsed by positive, arrogant self-assertion, but irresistibly drawn in attraction to negative posturing that I'm so low, unqualified. Then that brings, you know, doinya atmani vedan. That attracts Krishna's interest. And then I thought, thinking along these lines, what a great power there is when we understand negativity as equated with humility, humility equated with negativity. And thanks to Mother Russia, the realization came to me in the winter. And where Malini is from? No, before. Leela Shakti and Malini, they were in Novosibirsk. That was where they were from originally. So I was visiting with them, and it was in the winter time, and it was like Sweta Dweep. In other words, everything was white. White snow, white trees, white everything, you know, that time when everything's just pure white and looks mystical, actually. And I was looking out the window at all this, and it was like minus 30 or something. One woman corrected, one man once said, he goes, you know, it was minus 40. And a woman came along and said, don't believe him, he's exaggerating. It wasn't more than minus 30. Like, guy is like way overstating. It wasn't more than minus 30. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm looking out the window and I thought, and read something online about superconductors. And the superconductor, it said, when ceramics, and again, I'm not a scientist, so if I get some of this wrong, forgive me, you know, but my understanding of what they expressed was that certain ceramic substance, when it achieves absolute zero, achieves superconductivity. And what we normally understand is like, say, a copper wire, that like when we have electrical wires, we know sometimes they get warm, right? Or hot, because of what? Resistance to the current. And it's shed in the form of heat, they get too hot, along those lines. But these superconductors, these ceramics, when you take them toward absolute zero, which by the way is something like minus 350, We're talking about minus 30 on a Celsius scale. So think, minus 350 is roughly absolute, what they call absolute zero. So what they observed is when these ceramics go to absolute zero, they achieve superconductivity. Which means what? They have zero resistance to current. They can do miraculous, mystical things, practically. So, generally from the New Age perspective, they think like, oh, negativity is a bad thing. Don't beat yourself up. You've got to have high self-esteem. But here we see the negativity that is so much valued, emphasized, and praised by devotees. I think therein lies this secret power. Because, in other words, devotionally speaking, and in terms of heart and the absence of ego, they're approaching absolute zero. And what does that mean? Zero resistance to divine current. The divine current is descending in the form of Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnav. On a certain level, whether from ego, acquired prejudice, acquired tendency, Prabhupada says causeless unwillingness, we're resisting that current. Even the Gayatri, we chant the prajodayat, prajodati. You'll see, that's another discussion. But it's like some impulse, for lack of a better word, to move in a particular way. But there's the counter, that causes unwillingness. We're resisting this current. And it means on account of arrogant egocentrism, right? Self-assertion. But when it's not to extinguish oneself or to deny one's individuality, but actually to discover oneself, remove the layers of acquired prejudice, acquired tendency, jnana karma jnanavritam, so that the actual self, golden self, can be revealed. And that's not, that this should not be equated with beating oneself up or having low esteem. In fact, we find, like Kaviraj Goswami, who is on the one hand says, Jagai madhai hoite mui se papishta. Purishera kito hoite mui se lagishta. I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madhai, lower than the worm and the stool. Well, don't beat yourself. No, Guru Maharaj, when such negative expression is vented from the Vaishnavas, just like as I mentioned about Raghunath Das Goswami and the others, the reason they're so detached is on account of what they're attached to internally. So what they're appreciating inside is so great and nourishing and inspiring that externally they're giving vent to such negativity. But as they do that, so they've ontologically speaking, in terms of ego dissolution, they've reached absolute zero. Just like Guru Maharaj said about Prabhupada, and his self-sacrifice, sacrificing himself on the altar, the ultimate altar of self-sacrifice, to the order of Srila Saraswati Thakur, to take Krishna consciousness to the Western countries, particularly America. He's saying, having wholly emptied himself of any other desire or any other personal consideration, not extinguishing his self or his individuality, but wholly emptying himself of ulterior motive, selfishness, being wholly emptied of those things, then what happened? He says, divine power came down and filled him and worked on his behalf. Kaviraj Goswami make vents such negativity when he becomes the conduit, the medium for the expression, in Guru Maharaj's words, of the greatest literature to have ever been revealed in all time, all space, and all creations, Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. That person who says, I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madhai and lower than the worm in the stool. Wholly emptying himself of anything other than the order of Nityananda Prabhu and by extension Mahaprabhu and Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan. Then look how much power descends in him and is transmitted from him. So it's the power of negativity. Right? We have to reconceive that in a new way. It takes courage to acknowledge one's hopelessness and helplessness. That is not a sign of weakness, as humanists might assert. As I mentioned before, when someone has an addiction, a problem, they're addicted, they have a problem with addiction. No, the same humanistic sloganeers, they will not tell that person that day they acknowledge their addiction and their utter helplessness and weakness, like, oh, you're just a weak-minded, you have no will, No, they'll say, oh, that's the turning point in your life when you can acknowledge that. That takes such strength and courage. We're praising you for that. If that takes courage and is a sign of strength and enables recovery and reclamation of oneself, one's better self, best version of oneself, then why should we think that this doinya atmani vedam, this process of surrender, is somehow less than that? Or is a sign of weakness or a lack of self-esteem? Now, what does Krishna say about self-esteem? Ascharjavat paschiti kaschidenam. If you could have a glimpse of your actual self, you'll be astonished. Humanists will say, we've been saying that. No, but you're saying that about, my online avatar. the mask, the persona that I'm hiding behind. Sangskar, mental impressions acquired lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, making a hideous mask of egoistic self-assertion. And you're saying, yeah, you... praise that. It's false. Uncovering that, Krishna's saying, if you have a glimpse, ascharja means astonishing. I mean, if you have a glimpse of your actual self and your reality potential, meaning in the real world, mukti arhitvanyata rupam swaropena vivasiti, in that plane, you'll be astonished, you'll be enlivened, you'll be amazed at what awaits you. When, because of publishing the books, Search for Sri Krishna, Sri Guru and His Grace, etc., Guru Maharaj and Gurudev, they're giving so much praise to me. Everyone, likes to be praised, but we know Saraswati Thakur also said in one place, if a sadhu flatters me, he becomes my enemy. It's not good for us in another way. It's got to be a balance. But at any rate, one time I thought, this is a little too much, And so afterward, I was talking to Gurudev in my room. I said, Maharaj, this praise, could you tone it down a little bit? It's like, it's too extreme for me. And Gurudev, he was hurt, visibly hurt, like his heart. He said, you think I don't mean this, or it's flattery? He said, Maharaj, and back to his other point, he said, I'm practicing my religion. Amanina amanadena. You know, I'm practicing Mahaprabhu's teachings, and you're telling me like don't do that so much. He said, it's real. And he said, I know who is Guru Maharaj. I know what is your future prospect. And I'm celebrating that. And I'm so happy about it. And if you knew what, you would be astonished. But I know that. Perhaps you cannot see that right now. But I know it. And I'm so happy about that and celebrating that. And that's the basis of what I'm saying to you. So he readjusted me, but after he left the room, and I thought, because always your mind comes back, you know, and I thought, come on, you know who you are and what you're really like, and they're telling you, you know, these wonderful things, and you're also happy to hear it and everything, but you know what you're really like inside. Come on. It's like these... You know, Lincoln said we should yield to our better angels. These are not the better angels, you know. But they seem to be. They're the ones who are always telling you, like, come on, Krishna consciousness, that's like impossible, like the man said. Just be honest and just be, a non-devotee. That'll be so nice. That'll be so honest. Then you won't be committing fraud in the world by presenting yourself as a devotee. Like sometimes for a special day, Gurudev would go ahead and put tilak on Srila Sridhar Maharaj, like to go down in the temple room or something. And Guru Maharaj, now sitting there with tilak, he'd say, my disguise. Like, he means like, I'm not a real devotee. I'm disguised. Now everyone will think I'm a devotee. So Maya said, yeah, you know you're not really. More honest position would be to be outside and from, and then you're really an honest person instead of being a fraudulent devotee. That's her greatest trick too, because she knows the vital position in Krishna consciousness is dependent upon association. Nobody can practice Krishna consciousness on their own, unless you're like a Siddha Mahatma, Mahapurus, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and you're not. I'm not, you're not. That I can say with like great certainty. All others need to be like the little seedling in the nursery in the completely controlled environment so it can thrive, become deeply rooted, and then we can talk about transitioning to other soil and being able to withstand the environment. So then I thought to myself, but then my other, the better angel said, well, who are you going to believe? Like the punchline in the old joke, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes? In the objective world, that's a joke. Right? But in the subjective world, it's the truth. Jnaninas tattvadarshina. Chaksur umilitam jaina tasmai. Who are you going to believe? Sri Guru Vaishnava? Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnava? Or your own eyes? Right? I would say, Shrutekshita. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja. Ase Shrutekshita pato nanunata pungsang. It's very beautiful. It says, Ikshita means like seeing. It's saying on this path, you see through hearing, not with your eyes. The eyes are deceiving, especially when it's concerning spiritual things. So through hearing, you see spiritually. Shrota Panta, right? Shabda Brahman. So then I thought, Who do you have faith in more? Your own assessment of yourself or what Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Gurudev, their vision of you and your prospect, your reality potential? And I thought, well, I want to believe in what they say is true. And even if, say, I'm better acquainted with my objective self, although not as well acquainted with my objective self as the Paramatma, Upadrastanumantacha Bharta Bhokta Maheshara Paramatmeti Chapayukto Dehesmen Purushapara. Paramatma knows more about you than you know this life. Paramatma knows the last one and 1,000 before that. Knows your whole history. Krishna and Arjuna, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tava charjana. Because Arjuna's saying, how can you say, you told this to the sun god, that would be like 120 million years ago. And Krishna says, Arjuna, you and I have many births. I know all of them. And yours too. You know. So Krishna knows. And Guru and Vaishnav, as representatives, surrogates, they know better. They know your objective self too. They can read it a mile away. But they're speaking to your actual self and saying, you have this prospect. And they're celebrating that. As Gurudev said, I know who Guru Maharaj is. I know his zone. And you're slated for that by coming in connection with him. And I'm very happy to see that. And I'm celebrating that. Just now you're not seeing it, but I do. And I thought, I'm going to believe in them. They see me this way and say, that is my potential. I'm going to believe in that and move in the light of their conception. And maybe I'll have a healthy awareness of my own mundane tendencies that should make me cautious and not become so complacent. But in terms of my actual identity, I'm deferring to them. They can see that. As the expert teacher can recognize in a child, what do they call it? Prodigies. You know the word, right? When they, like someone's 4 years old and they can play the violin or the piano like an expert. In English, it's called a prodigy. So it means, and experts, or they see, oh, this one could be a great, like the girl from Izhevsk who won the gold medal in Korea for ice skating. She's 15. She's from Izhevsk. Someone saw when she was 5 years old that she could be that. That's the idea. That's Guru and Ma. They see this potential and they celebrate that. Not only do they celebrate it, they enable it by their loving, affectionate guidance, their instructions, their everything. So Ranganath Das Goswami is saying, I was unwilling. He was the unwilling devotee of this story. Ranganath Das. Or so he says. But Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, he's in a never-ending state. You know, Gopi Bhava Rasamrita Dilahari Kalola Magno Muhur. Normally he's drowning in an ocean of Gopi Bhava and Krishna Prem. But when it comes to his attention, there are some people who are not relishing that. That makes him unhappy. Oh, is there something I can do for them? And then what is Ranganath saying? I am the one. I was that unwilling devotee. You say, you, Ranganath Das Goswami, the Prayojan Tattva Acharya in the Rupanuga line, you were unwilling? Like us? And mercifully, he's willing to say, yes, I was also unwilling, but by the mercy of such a great Vaishnava, he made me taste this. That's why any devotee who gives a little push is our real friend. Like Shama Vilas Prabhu was like that. And Gaur said, and maybe village people are more acquainted with this, but like when the horse, they need a horse to take a pill, you know what they do, right? They take some a long-stemmed vegetable or something, but like they put the pill on there and they hold the horse's mouth open and they like push it down his throat to get the medicine inside. You understand? So sometimes those devotees who give us a little push, they're our real friends. Although we may not think it at the time, we're a little resistant, unwilling, whatever. But then we go like, thank you for doing that. you made me drink something which I didn't realize was so nectarine. So you have my gratitude and appreciation. That's why we always want to be surrounded by loving affection and servitors, and realize all the God brothers and God sisters are in that position. And they're helping one another. Sometimes someone's a little more enthusiastic, someone is not. When we went to the Badrinath walking from Rishikesh to Badrinath, it's like 108 miles, I don't know, it took 2 weeks. It's long, whether miles, kilometers, whatever. It takes, 2 weeks of walking, 10, 15 kilometers a day, whatever. But it's sometimes, and we're in twos, my partner, really, sometimes I'm not feeling up to it. And he's saying, we only have to, just don't stop now. It's just around the corner to the next place that, we're going to and get to. And I go, really? Yeah, come on. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'd go. And then realize, oh, maybe wasn't 100% telling the truth, but like I got my second wind, my spirit back. And other times he's feeling a little down. I'm going, oh, Prabhu, not now. Look what's, we're so close to Badrinath. Really? Yes. That helping one another when someone's a little less enthusiastic, giving them a little loving, affectionate shove. Or if you're expert, dealing with them in such a way as to reignite their interest. Enthusiasm is infectious. Right? So, as Gurma said, associate with the hungry. And then you'll say, I'm starting to feel hungry too. The more I hear about this, it's awakening, this hunger in me. Now I'm feeling it. By the association of such a person. Hare Krishna.